This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive. Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Lante en route. As far as we know, that's the latest update. I think he'll be just a few minutes late. He'll be joining us soon. And welcome to 96 straight hours of Bryce Hopkins coverage leading up to his announcement, potentially on Sunday.
That would be a lot of coverage.
It would be.
I feel like you could do it. Didn't you? I don't think I could, no. You and Brett and Jeremy were stalling for a long time at, was that Adam's commitment?
That was Adam Miller's commitment.
Because you were streaming it. But streaming it was supposed live. To happen at like 6, but then it was like 6:45 and you guys were still talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, you were vamping for quite a while there. You might be able to do 96 hours.
Yeah, that was difficult. Brett says, you know, we could just use a couple of minutes of filler before he takes the stage and hop on live and we'll talk. And then you just move out of the picture when he arrives and it's 6:45 and no sign of Adam. And we've danced circles around the decision and Illinois is a program and everything. So, yeah, 96 hours, that wouldn't be possible.
That'd be some kind of a record.
Yeah.
For radio, TV, or anything in between. The fans would like it, though. I know the Illini Inquirer subscribers would appreciate a 96-hour telethon following every latest update.
We'll see what we can get tomorrow. Jerry Meyer, 24/7 Sports National Analyst, is going to join us. Mr. Crystal Ball.
Yeah.
We'll ask him about Bryce Hopkins, Mac Etienne. Talk some college hoops, too. Just upcoming season, thoughts on who he likes.
We're close to the season. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Even closer, college football. Big Ten football this weekend. Interesting report surfaced on Twitter right before the show. Jeff Brohm, who has tested positive for COVID-19, will not be on site in West Lafayette against Iowa. But according to a report, Purdue is filing an appeal to allow Brohm to coach remotely during the game.
From his home, in other words.
I imagine.
Because he has to be, obviously, has to be quarantined from anybody. So I assume he's alone in a basement or a room or something. How would that even work? I mean, do they send him a headset? Obviously, it's got to be, it can't be like a Bluetooth setup because he's too far away. So what's he texting in play calls or something? Or he's Zooming? Somebody?
Maybe.
Interesting. What if they had like a robot on the sideline with an iPad on it and it was just Jeff Brohm's face making the calls? That opens you up to a lot of different things, right? Because I think the pushback to what they were... Nick Saban wasn't going to do that, correct? Before he cleared and was able to coach. I don't think he was going to coach remotely.
There's a note here in this 24/7 article that says, Nick Saban, who tested positive before 3 negative tests allowing him to coach last weekend, was originally not allowed to coach remotely according to the NCAA rule.
So is the rule that they're worried you would have some type of unfair advantage with all the technology in front of you?
Potentially, or you could get hacked, I guess, and they'd worry about Iowa tapping into your play calls.
All you need is an IP address.
It'd be kind of funny if Brohm is like a play behind because he's watching on TV and there's that 7-second delay and he's calling the third down one play on fourth.
Yeah, right. Lon's here.
Morning.
How's it going?
Good, guys. How are you guys?
Wow,
sorry about that.
Mike is really quiet. I got to turn you.
Oh,
way
is
up.
It? Yeah, it is quiet.
It's got a different definition, though. You're right. I can hear
even
everything
for me
going on in there.
I mean, if a mic is quiet when I'm, you know, on, then something's wrong.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, something's not right in here.
I don't know. It just sounds quiet,
like echoey or something. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it echoey?
No wonder you can hear me when I'm eating in there.
Right. Yeah.
Also on the air.
I can hear you.
It just ruins the dynamic when he's in there. I don't know why.
We'll switch here in a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, I got some Bryce Hopkins update.
Oh, boy.
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. Are you joining Derek for the 96-hour telethon?
Well, I feel like as a friend, I think we all should take shifts. Now, Derek would do 96, but you and I could maybe take shifts.
No.
I'll pass on that one.
Well, yeah, is this thing started heating up last night? I got a text from, Trevor about 11?
There was nothing specific that made me text you that. I just said, should we try and get somebody on to talk Hopkins just because it seems like, you know, it's the week before a commitment potentially, and that's when the fever pitch of any fan base gets at its highest,
Well, you guys have to understand, like, And you'll understand this one day as a parent. And it's no big deal, believe me, because we've texted before at night. But I had just gotten in bed after watching the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw become the best pitcher ever, thanks to my betting. So I get into bed, and I literally almost doze off, and my phone goes off. And I'm like, uh-oh, it's kind of late. Why am I getting a text? So as a parent, you always, you don't think the worst maybe, but you're like, what's happening? And then it was just Trevor talking about Bryce. Sorry. I'm like, whoa, no, you're fine. Because then you got me, then I was wide awake, and I'm like, what did I miss? Did he commit?
I didn't have anything. It was just an idle thought before I went to bed.
I was like, man, let's go. That would be awesome. What would he mean, Derek, to this team?
He'd mean a ton. I think in terms of when you're just thinking about Brad Underwood's recruiting momentum, it would be the, fifth top 50 guy in three classes.
Because wow.
You got two last class in Curbelo and Miller. Before that, you got Kofi. Before that, you got Io. So that's three straight classes of the top 50. That'd be four in a row and five in three classes. And I actually did some research, and if you might have seen my piece on Atlanta Inquirer, I think it was last week, that's only been done in terms of four classes in a row with the top 50. It's only been done three other times in the Big Ten since the late 90s.
Man.
Tom Crean did it with Indiana. He had six classes in a row with the top 50.
Wow.
Now, they did get...
And then got fired.
Yeah, then got fired just not doing enough with it.
Right.
He had two Big Ten titles. He did have that one seed where they got bounced, I think, in the second round. They made it to the Sweet 16, but that's as far as he ever went. He ends up getting fired. The other guy you probably can imagine is Tom Izzo. And he did okay. Yeah, he had a 9-year stretch. He got nine top 50s. He won a national title. He won like four Big Ten titles in a row, a bunch of Sweet 16s, Elite 8s. So it sets you up for long-term success. Bryce is would be an awesome piece to put around your guards because you're going to bring back Curbelo and Miller and trying to fill the piece with Kofi at the five. But Bryce is an extremely skilled forward, 6'7", and play inside and outside. Great body, top 30 type of guy. And I think that he'd mean a really great deal and would just further, and we talk about this a lot, further the fact that if you are in that, especially if you're number five in the country and you pick Duke, I mean, no one's going to say anything. I mean, they might be like, all right, Illinois is back.
Right.
We still feel like we should get that guy. But especially in that like 20 to 40 range, that's kind of where Illinois should be able to pull that in. And that would just be further momentum for the program.
I mean, is it being selfish if you get Bryce Hopkins to just ask Io and Kofi to come back one more year, and then you'd be ranked number one in the country and just go on to win a national title? Is that too selfish?
I don't know how to answer that. No, maybe. I think you just probably soak this one up as much as you possibly can, because let's be honest, this one wasn't supposed to happen. This
right.
pairing of Io playing with Miller and playing with Curbelo, that's not how it was supposed to work out, but obviously we're all excited to see it.
No doubt. You know, guys, I don't know that I'll ever get used to the big boy recruiting. Does that make sense? It's just, it's harrowing, it's frustrating, it's exhilarating. I'm trying to think of what other words it is, because you catch yourself, like with Bryce Hopkins, for instance, you catch yourself just sitting there wondering and already looking ahead as to what the team would look like with a guy like him at a position that you've been trying to fill for at least 3 or 4 years, right? And so you look at it that way, and it's exhilarating. It's exciting. It's you're just thinking about going forward and what he would bring to the program. But yet on the other end of that, you get excited, and then if for some reason, that's probably not the right word, not the right phrase. If you don't then get him, then you're frustrated and you start to ask why us, which isn't fair because this happens to everybody. But it's just, I don't know. Derek, I don't know how you do what you do. And I don't really understand how Chen and Orlando and, of course, Brad and Stephen Gentry and these guys. I don't know how college basketball coaches and college football coaches do what they do, because if we as fans, and maybe we do it way too much. You know, these guys are probably able to control it a little bit better than we do in terms of pure emotion. But just the idea of looking ahead at your team and scratching it down on a piece of scratch paper, like this could be our lineup next year. And then if it doesn't happen, or if it does happen, how excited you are. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's difficult. And it's difficult from my standpoint, trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what's changing and all that. But yeah, to actually be on the inside and be the one that trying to sway the kid your way and obviously competing against the Kentucky. I don't know the emotion part. And look, the coaches would probably say as soon as the recruit says no or says it's a different school, they move on and they're on to somebody else.
Sure.
They're extending new offers. I mean, that's their job. But it would be impossible not to recruit someone for, you know, 2+ years, do all of the Zoom calls now, but the in-homes, the convincing, the plea, everything that goes on to it. I mean, it's a lot. And you got to talk to their coaches or just somebody that just knows them.
Right.
To try to figure out, are they coming or what can you do to say something that maybe gets in their ear? It's crazy. It's a crazy world out there in terms of recruiting. But let's be honest. Yeah, Brad Underwood and this staff, they've done a lot better than you would have expected that first window of building the program back up. And I think now in this class, if you're a fan, you're a little frustrated with some of the misses, the Jordan Nesbitt miss.
No doubt.
The David Jones. You don't want to see it again with Hopkins. You don't want to get burned by getting your hopes up again. And you also know when Kentucky wants somebody, in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, somewhere down the line, it's going to not end well. We're going to be disappointed. But
you're going to call him from a golf course or something?
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But wrapped in that is the hope that you can land him. And I think Illinois has a very, very, very good sell. I think they've done a lot of really good things. They weren't supposed to be in this final week as a top contender with Bryce.
Right.
At the very outset of when he decommitted from Louisville in August, opens it back up. The word you hear around is like, Illinois probably doesn't have a chance.
Okay.
And that stemmed from just not, you know, we can go back with Underwood and Jamal Walker and all that, but they just weren't in a position right away to be a top contender. Now it's decision week here in the next 5 to 7 days or whatever it may be, and it looks like Illinois and Kentucky. Now, Providence probably isn't one to write off completely, but I think Illinois has done a really, really good job, and obviously we know what it could mean, and this is a team that has a ton of talent. So I think from Illinois' standpoint, they're like, why not come here? Why not keep us at a Big Ten title contending level and just be the next in line from Io to Adam and Andre and on down?
Yeah, and you look at it. I was talking with a buddy today. You look at it, and you get the idea that look what happened. Like, you got Io, you got Kofi. You then picked up Curbelo and Miller, and you still have Trent Frazier. You still have Georgie, DeMonte, and I'm going to miss some, but you get the point. And look what you are. You were a top 10. You're a top 10 team in the country. It can be done. And that's the I think that is the bottom line frustrating thing for me when it comes to this kind of recruiting, because especially on the basketball side, because football, I don't think football's had their moments, don't get me wrong, and we all know that. We know we can recall easily and chat about easily the huge wins they've had, the Big Ten titles that aren't many, but they've had. They've been memorable, right? And even back to the Mike White days when football was incredible, you know, the 80s belonged to the Illini in both sports. But the bottom line frustration, I think, for me, and it's I honestly used to just think, you're from Illinois, you should go to the University of Illinois. And it's like, that's not fair, right? I mean, I'm a small town kid that grew up 20 miles from campus. If I would have been the number 10 player in the country, I would have gone to Illinois. It's just that simple, right? Because that's the team I grew up liking. That's not the case for a lot of these kids. And I think for people in Central Illinois, I think that's the rub. And again, the bottom line frustration for me is that give me a 5-year stretch where every stud recruit, not every, you can't get them all. If you had the top 3 players out of the state of Illinois for a 5-year stretch said yes and came to the University of Illinois, this program could be a top 10 program every year. And I think that is the thing for me, at least. Maybe I'm not sure if other Illinois fans feel the same way. For me, that's the frustration in it all, in the sense that it's not like they're taking some chance and going like Mike Dom did to South Dakota State, even though, you know, he had to go there essentially. It's not like some kid is just taking this miraculous leap and they've never seen kind of any kind of success at Illinois. You're looking at it right now. Io made the decision. Kofi makes the decision. And they're the reason, but they're being rewarded. They're a top 10 team in the country. And we'll play with it. And they're a team that could get to the Final Four. They're a team that could hopefully win a national title. Why not? Dream big, right? So you look at that, and my pitch, and I know, listen, this is why I don't do that. And I'm sure that's the pitch anyway. But if I was a coach at Illinois, I'd be like, give us 5 years. I dare you. I dare you, you five-year guys right here. I dare you to take the chance and line up in a row, come to Illinois, and you see what could happen at this university. Because this basketball program could easily be, I mean, we've always hung our hat on that, right? We're a top 20 program nationally in terms of all time. We've always hung our hat on that. We is not professional. Illinois has always hung its hat on that. I'm talking as a fan. So it's like, you almost like dare these 5 years in a row, you come here and see what happens. And I guarantee you then all of a sudden you're a powerhouse. And then the next 5 years, there's kids from the state of Illinois that want to come here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And when you look at it, I'm sure Illinois, I know they have, they've mentioned it, that they're selling it. The fact that, look at the preseason rankings, and we've mentioned before, or anyone's going to look and say, well, preseason doesn't matter, but it's a projection on what Illinois is supposed to do this year. They're in a better spot than Kentucky, who recruits at such an incredible level each and every year. You know, Illinois is in the top 10. Kentucky's probably in that top 10 to 15 range. So Illinois is supposed to have a better year. And just look how much has changed from, you know, last fall when Bryce makes his commitment. Illinois hadn't done really any winning at a significant level.
Right.
It all has come together now. And I think also, and you don't want to make decisions just based on staying close to home or that may be, but it matters. Yeah. I think it really does. I was talking to Io's dad this weekend. He was up at the Pangos camp in Chicago, and he said, you know, if Io wanted to see me, if he's like, hey, miss you guys, we're there in 2 hours.
That's awesome.
We're at all of his, we talked yesterday about the impact of the Io family at the games. If you're playing in the SEC, how many games are they seeing when you're at Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Florida? I think that wraps into it as well. But yeah, I think that overall, and for Bryce Hopkins in particular, his sister went to Illinois, his dad really likes the campus, everything about the university itself. There's a lot to like about the program. Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on about the right. selling points about right. it. But yeah, it's just kind of crazy how you get down the stretch here and you got all these different people saying this different stuff, and you're trying to figure it out, and that's recruiting. That's part of the deal. But this would be a really big one if Illinois is able to pull it off. I think they've had a big opportunity on their plate, and we'll see what happens probably this weekend.
And it's funny, as a parent, like this is such a simplistic way of looking at this, but and I apologize to both of my kids, but if you're a Tay, you're never going to be some outstanding athlete. You're going to be good. You're going to be decent. You're going to hold your own. You're going to help a team out. But like I always used to try to put myself in that position. Like, let's say with Lucas, who was a pretty good golfer. Let's say he was good enough to go to Illinois and Mike Small wanted him. Well, obviously, I would want that, right? Now, it's a little bit different in golf because they're never home anyway, right? So you'd have to travel anyway. It doesn't matter where they go. But if you took that and went with it, almost like, let's say Illinois hosted a bunch of golf matches every year. I mean, when Lucas was in high school, I hardly ever missed a match or, you know, baseball or basketball or anything like that. And I think to myself, okay, then if he would have then said, well, I'm still going to go to Arizona State. I mean, as a parent, you got to be happy for him wherever he goes. But in a way, I'd be like, well, crap. You know, that's a three-hour flight just to get out to see you and this and that. But I don't know. I mean, again, that's simplistic. And these guys obviously are thinking big time. And I don't know. It would be great. It would be great to get an 11 p.m. text from Derek now that says, hey, we got Hopkins. Let's make that happen tonight, can we?
I won't fake it. I promise to text you, but I'm not gonna fake any good news there.
But you do think though Sunday maybe or this weekend maybe is when Bryce could pull the trigger?
Yeah, I know his dad told a Kentucky reporter yesterday. They're hoping to have it done by Sunday. And the talk here in the last couple of days has been probably Bryce will have his mind made up by the end of the week. And it would probably be shortly after that, you know, the next day or two after that when he releases his commitment video, which...
So 6 months.
Sounds like... No, please, dear God.
Who do the Bears play this weekend?
They play the Rams on Monday night.
That's right.
So this weekend could be a Cardinals win over the Seahawks. Bryce,
hold on.
Bryce commits, and then a Monday night football win for the Bears, and the three of us walk off. We start the week in just a cloud of heaven. I'm in.
I didn't hear anything about Illinois, Wisconsin in there.
Oh my gosh, that's so my fault. The weekend starts with Illinois beating Wisconsin, and then we just relax on Saturday. We're already winning the weekend, and then Arizona beats Seattle, so now I'm fired up. And then Bryce commits, and then you guys win on Monday night, which would help me as well with the Rams. That's the perfect, not trifecta, that's a, what would that be, whatever.
Quadrifecta, yeah.
Quadrifecta. That would be nice.
If we want to solidify it, all we got to do is march over Indiana and place a bet on Wisconsin minus 19.5, and Illinois will pull the upset.
Boom.
For sure.
Boom. That's it. Yeah, I'll bet Seattle. I'll bet the Rams, and I'll bet Wisconsin. And then I don't think you can bet recruiting yet. I'm assuming in the future that they'll start laying odds on betting. But certainly you can't do that. Obviously. All right. It's weird being in this room.
It's weird being here. I can cut him off at any moment, which I love doing. I like how he started out that dream weekend with the most unlikely leg of the dream, and that the Cardinals beat Russell Wilson.
But hey, you know, their track record against Seattle the last 5 years.
That's true. Actually, they have played them pretty good. Is it in Seattle? Not that it matters.
I think it is in Seattle.
Okay.
Without the 12th man. Yeah, I was going to say.
I do find it funny how often we catch ourselves going, you know, LSU at home this weekend, so they do have a home field advantage. Like, well, not really.
Yeah.
Maybe they have the home field advantage just because they didn't have to travel to the place.
Right.
But, I mean, there shouldn't be a huge bump for, like, it shouldn't sway me that Seattle's at home against the Cardinals.
I agree, but
And yet, somehow it does.
We're conditioned to it. It's like me being conditioned to, Illinois is ranked 10th in the country, which really doesn't matter right now.
Unless you're Georgia in Athens where you can pack the stadium. That's a little bit different.
When are we making a trip?
Good question.
I'm kidding.
All right, we'll get these places back in order after the break. We got a lot to do.
We have major breaking news, by the way, as
what?
Well.
Major?
Yeah, about the Big Ten. But we'll tease it.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's why I've been on my phone the last 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. No.
NFL next question coming up at 4:30. Maybe push back to 4:35 after we get to this breaking news. 5:05, we'll talk some more Illinois, Wisconsin. Look at the weather, which is going to be nice and cold. And Illinois has announced a starting offensive guard, and the spread's moved a little bit. At 5:15, we'll talk to Josh Schaefer, Wisconsin writer for 24/7 Sports.
Nice.
And to finish the show, World Series talk. Dodgers go up 1-0. Kershaw struck out more than 6.5, and we're moving on to game 2 tonight. Do all that coming up. Find us on Twitter. Just search at the drive 93.5. If you want to weigh in, text 217-359-2255 to the College of Aces text line. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, J-A-Y.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
This message brought to you by PDR Automotive. Fall is here in Champaign-Urbana, and October is an important month. It's not only Car Care Month, it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So ladies, please schedule your screening today. And to schedule your car care winter inspection, that can be done at PDRAuto.com or by calling 367-9481. That's PDRAuto.com or at 367-9481. Remember, they're what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR, keeping you safe out on the roads this winter.
University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, also known as ACES, invites you to participate in the first ever virtual ACES Family Academies. Spend time with your child or grandchild and experience all ACES has to offer. These free sessions will be posted all summer and cover a variety of ACES topics with hands-on activities that extend beyond agriculture. ACES is more than meets the eye. Register for these free sessions at acesalumni.illinois.edu/events.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champaign. Sarah Champaign knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
My name is Rob Finley. What brought me to Lifeline Connect was pretty much an adult lifetime of really trying to get clean and sober, but always ended up failing. I have been to 9 treatments. I did a 7-year prison term, a failed marriage, and I was disappointed. I feel like I had tried to get sober so many times that I finally came to an end and I had just given up, to where I just finally accepted the fact that I was never going to beat this. I was sad. I was lonely. I had neglected my kids. Their mother was raising them, and I had finally come to an end to myself, and I just had given up. This isn't just a program where you come to 6 classes a month, we sign your paper, you know, you're good. No, this is a team of people that are called to drug addiction ministry. They support you. They pour into you. They are devoted to you. I'm a testimony of that process, and I got some real change for once in my life.
Lifeline Connect.
Long's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of 4 Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of 4 light truck tires, you get $120 credit. So go on to Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it's the drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. I'm back in my comfortable spot, staring at Derek to my left, Trevor to my right, instead of both of you, straight ahead.
I didn't have your order restored.
Yeah, everything's back. Now, before we get to this breaking news, and I know it's all over our College of ACES text line, so thank you to everyone that texted that in, but before we get to this breaking news, Derek, I want your gut reaction as to when Trevor said, I have breaking news of the Big Ten. What did you think?
It was probably that some games were canceled this weekend.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought that, like, in my mind, I had Michigan State testing positive, like 16 players, Iowa 12 players, and I was like, oh, no, they're already canceling games in the Big Ten. That's exactly what I thought when Trevor said that.
Well, there was even a quote today from Paul Chris when he was asked about any concerns about players missing this weekend because of COVID, and he just kind of danced around and said, it's a day-by-day thing, and
oh,
we'll see.
You know, that's it. Well, we got to get to
Lovey, when asked, said we're 100% clean.
Okay.
So
okay,
there's a difference in answers for you.
Because, this COVID thing you talk about, like, let's say, okay, Jack Cohn's out for the Badgers, right? So let's say all of a sudden Graham Mertz, they make the announcement that Mertz, you know, has tested positive. All of a sudden, Wisconsin's down to the third string quarterback. There's a lot of things that could happen on game week where all of a sudden, let's hope it doesn't for the sake of the young man. But it's just crazy. All right, so we have breaking news from the Big Ten.
Pat Chambers is resigning as Penn State's basketball coach. This comes after... This is from David Jones, who's a reporter for them.
He's been a friend of the show before.
Patrick Chambers has been the subject of Penn State's internal investigation for the past several months, led by Penn State Athletics Integrity Officer Robert Boland. Interviews with many former players and coaches have centered around Chambers' treatment of the team. That's all it says.
Wow.
Last year, he was suspended one game for shoving a player, correct?
Right. Yep. That's correct. And then there was some...
There was an
off-color
comment he made to a player in, an exit meeting or something after the season, and they brought that up. Now, it says here, when I look back at it, that that was dealt with internally and everything has been resolved. So it seems like something else obviously came up from this internal investigation and speaking with former players to the point where essentially he resigned today before they could fire him after the results of this internal investigation.
Mm. All right, so I know he's released a statement. It's a long one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, if you got it.
Today I am announcing my departure from Penn State. I'm so proud of all our program has accomplished these past 9 years, and I will be forever grateful to the Penn State community for its ongoing support. Anyone who has ever coached knows the exceptional amount of energy and focus it takes to deliver each and every day. This has been an incredibly difficult year for me and my family, and we are in need of a break to reset and chart our path forward. So I'm taking a step back to prepare myself for the next 20 years. That's very specific.
Wow.
And while I do, I'll celebrate all that we accomplished. And he lists a bunch of bullet points of the various things. 9 all Big Ten selections, 90% graduation rate, 18 wins against ranked opponents, the most in Penn State history, etc.
That's, well, and listen, I mean, a guy that should have had a team, Derek, in the NCAA tournament last year. I mean, Penn State was going to not only be in, but a solid seed last year in that tournament. So you have to think this is not anything to do with basketball on the court results, right? I mean, this resigning, which I don't think Pat Chambers, unless there's like a health scare or something, but I just can't imagine Pat Chambers out of nowhere just saying, you know what, I'm going to take a couple of years off and then worry about the next 20, as he said. So I don't think it would be a one win-loss issue here, Derek. There's got to be something behind this.
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous to speculate.
It is.
And you could sit there and say, did they give him the option to, you can get out on your own terms before we have to move there? Did he know there was something that was found?
And right.
I don't know. But yeah, to your question there, no. When they were about to break a 9-year drought in the NCAA tournament, there's a lot of pressure on Pat this past year because he had a really good recruiting class where he got Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, and Mike Watkins all in the same class. Tony Carr leaves after 2 years. They missed the tournament. They did win the NIT, but I know that even for Penn State felt like a disappointment. But they were going on the road to the road to the Final Four. It was not going to be the road to the Final Four. The road to the NCAA tournament. Now, they were ranked, we've said it, when Illinois beat them in February, they were ranked 8 in the country.
Yeah.
And they were the hottest team in the Big Ten. So they had a pretty darn good year, especially by their standards. Pat, it feels like friend of the show when he was on.
No doubt.
It was awesome having him on during the summer. But,
I
don't know.
Whoops. Can I throw out the elephant in the room and the fact that we have Pat on totally kidding because we're doing who you got, coach versus coach, talking about literal fights, you know, like breaking down fights and like, Chambers comes on and just plays along with it wonderfully. There's 2% of college basketball coaches that would have done that. And, you know, he jokes about how he'd have to get after Juwan Howard and this and that. And so we have fun with it. And so the issue here is that if for some reason, and again, you're right, you should not speculate, Derek. It's dangerous to do that. It's unprofessional to do it. But if there is some kind of an issue off the court that led to this and it has anything to do with that, then I'm going to feel like we
didn't help the situation.
We didn't help.
I get that.
Oh, it's like you just kind of feel icky about it. So
I liked him as a coach.
I did too.
I thought that he had that toughness. I liked the way his teams played. He was a hard-nosed guy. Obviously, he said some things to rub certain players the wrong way. Rasir Bolton, who transferred, had some things to say about him. But I don't know. That is shocking news, honestly.
There has to be more here.
I agree.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is my opinion. If we're firing guys because they aggressively yell at people, now, obviously, if the content of what they're yelling is bad, that's Absolutely. Something else entirely.
But if it's just
if we're just like generally fiery people and you're getting fired because of that, that's just absurd.
I agree.
But I don't think that's the case here.
Right.
When you think about, and maybe I'm biased because look at our coach.
Mm-hmm.
You think about like the Huggins tree with Frank Martin and guys like them. Look at Frank Martin, what he does.
Oh.
I mean, he looks like he's going to lose his mind and go psycho in the shower on somebody in the halftime locker room. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, and again, like Matt on the College of Aces text line just said, kids these days are so soft. Again, well, that's a speculation that what you're saying.
My point is a separate one.
The perfect analogy.
Chambers,
right.
And that I just hate that we're so
right.
anti-aggressive.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no, you're right. You're right. And that's definitely changed. I mean, you know, an analogy would be Bob Knight. I mean, he was just as vicious as anybody I've ever seen in my life. And the only reason he got let go of his job is because there's video of him choking Neil Reed. I mean, putting his hands...
that's pretty bad.
And there's no doubt that he should have been. He should have absolutely been let go. And of course, that's what we want to see. I don't feel like just yelling at players and such as even if people today think that kids, you know, can't handle it as much now as we did 20 years ago. I don't know. I mean, that's whatever you say to that. But there's got to be something more than that.
Even the in-game shove that we saw wasn't that bad.
No.
And then we could talk about the noose reference, which
was
you got to be. It's bad. You got to be careful with that.
Absolutely. That's bad.
And there, as we've said, there has to be more here.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a next question NFL edition. And it's going to be brought to you by Game Day Spirit, GameDaySpirit.com. They even have Tommy Bahama wear, Illinois Tommy Bahama wear. So if I could lose some weight and look good in a Tommy Bahama shirt, you bet you I'm buying some Illini Tommy Bahama gear. So Game Day Spirit, check them out. Two locations on Neal and Green, GameDaySpirit.com. When we come back, next question, NFL edition. It is The Drive. Bummed out about no tailgating this football season?
Welcome to Moe's!
Tailgate at home this year with a meal kit from Moe's. Choose from a choice of their nachos kit, tacos kit, or fajitas kit. All kits come with your choice of meats along with beans, pico de gallo, Moe's famous queso, and of course, free chips and salsa on the side. Each kit serves 4 to 6. Visit Moe's.com or call the Champagne Moe's 352-6637. Available for pickup or delivery.
We're very happy to welcome our law enforcement officials of the month from the Urbana Police Department. It's Michelle Robinson.
Well, right now I'm at the Urbana Middle School, and my number one goal is to bridge that gap between police and the community. And where we start is with the next generation. I feel with everything that's going on in the nation today that that's probably the number one place that Officer Burnett and I need to be in is the schools, because that's where we're going to start. We've got to stop what's going on and kind of build that gap between us and the community. Because of the trust they have in me and because of the relationships I've built, we've been able to get some guns out of youth hands.
It's about relationships at that level.
Yes.
Where they should not fear you. They should respect, but you need to make eye contact. And I bet a lot of kids at the middle school level, Michelle Robinson, are probably surprised. You're pretty nice.
Yeah. I'm doing my dream job right now. This is why I came into policing.
Life changes, then it changes again. Predicting the unexpected live is impossible. That's why it's called unexpected. So when it comes to your financial goals, our philosophy is don't predict, prepare. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mike Kessel. A job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Let's work together to make sure you're equipped for life's unexpected events. Call our office today at 217-352-0117 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Start a new family tradition this Halloween season. Hi, I'm Lindsay Quick with the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce, and we invite you to join us for our first ever Scarecrow Hunt. Look for all the creepy, quirky, and creatively decorated scarecrows outside businesses all throughout Champaign County. Pick a day to take the kids on the Scarecrow Hunt and then post the photos of your favorites on social media with the hashtag Champaign County Scarecrows. We'll randomly choose one photo to win a $100 restaurant gift card. For a map of Scarecrow locations, visit champaigncounty.org.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it's The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. We've got Josh Schaefer, Wisconsin writer for 24/7 Sports, going to join us at 5:15. It is game week. Illinois, Wisconsin kicks off 7 p.m. Big Ten Network on Friday. It can't be 7 p.m. It's got to be like 7:02. It's never like an actual clean 7 p.m. kickoff.
Probably like 7:06.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
They pregame for 7 minutes and go from there. So Josh Schaefer will talk Wisconsin, and we'll do that again around 5:15. Right now it is time. Is John?
Next question.
Thank you, John. You're always answering the bell. Boom. NFL next question. Go.
Penn State's looking for a new coach, John.
Next question.
Okay. Baker Mayfield is injured. He had a bad...
It would be a good next move. That's too early for that. Sorry, Pat.
Baker Mayfield is hurt. Had a bad game against the Steelers. He says, quote, 4-2 is feeling like 0-6 right now.
Wow.
That was his quote today. Odell Beckham Jr. came out today and said he's, quote, tired of losing in this place.
Oh, okay, that's
what do you make of the Browns, who are still 4-2 and right in the race, but they got curb stomped this weekend by the Steelers?
Well, I think what I make of it is that they thought they had a shot at winning this division, and they went against Big Brother, and Big Brother not only beat them, but humiliated them. And so now if you're the Browns, you're probably, I get it, you're probably looking at a 4-2 record, and it's feeling a little shallow. And that's probably what they're thinking. Now, I don't know that I need Odell Beckham Jr. to sit there and say, oh, I'm tired of losing to this place. Well, you're part of the place. So do better, I guess. I don't know. That would tick me off as a fan. I get Baker Mayfield saying 4-2 is feeling like 0-6 because you're just coming off a horrible loss to a rival, Derek. And not only a rival, but somebody that you thought, we can go toe-to-toe with the Steelers. And then they absolutely humiliated you.
The Browns are being dramatic. Odell Beckham is being annoyingly outspoken.
Right.
Surprising. I mean, I get it. They lost to the Ravens 38-6 and the Steelers 38-7. You're in a tough division.
Yes.
Those are two of the best teams in the AFC, maybe outside of the Chiefs.
I agree.
Up there, the three best teams.
Yep.
You're just not as good as them.
You're not
it's
there
It's the bottom
yet.
Line. You're not there. You guys dig yourself a ton. You feel yourself. But,
yeah.
Know your role.
Next question.
The Dolphins have benched Ryan Fitzpatrick in lieu of the rookie.
So weird.
Tua Tagovailoa. Fitzpatrick said on a Zoom call today, great quote. Quote, I basically got fired yesterday, and now I have to sit in meetings for 4 hours with the guy who fired me and the guy who's replacing me. I love his honesty.
That is a wonderful
What do
quote.
You think of this move?
This is weird. My buddy is a Dolphins fan, and I'm like, why are they doing this? Hasn't Fitzpatrick done pretty well? I mean, what happened here makes me think that this was what was going to happen all season. Like, it didn't matter if the Dolphins were 0-6. It didn't matter if they were 6-0.
This is also their bye week.
Yeah.
So perhaps that was the plan.
And that's what makes me think this is what we're going to do. This is the plan of attack. We're going to use Fitzpatrick through the bye week, and then we're switching it all to Tua. I don't care what our record is. Because the Dolphins have been one of my surprise teams, Derek, where I didn't think they would be that good at all. And they're a team that has really shown me a lot of things this season. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's a big reason for that.
Yeah, you guys said it right there. It feels predetermined. It feels like they already decided that's what the move they were going to make. And I've been sitting here and Fitzpatrick with his turnovers, they were in that Patriots game, but he threw three picks.
I think you're right.
They were in the Seahawks game. They lost by 8, but he threw a couple of picks. It seemed like there was going to be one more straw that was going to break and Tua was going to be in. Now, then they go to San Francisco, line up the Niners. They handle the Jets, and they still make the move anyway. It just seems like they were assuming that it would have been smoother if Fitzpatrick struggled in one of those games and then
right.
they make the move. Send him to Dallas. He is better than Andy Dalton.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I think Fitzmagic needs to play. Now, he can be Fitztragic as well, but the Dolphins need to get something for him. Get a pick from Dallas.
The NFL needs Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that beautiful beard.
Next question.
I did see the stat, by the way, on Sunday. He surpassed 5,000 passing yards with the Dolphins. That's the third team in that division that he's surpassed 5,000 passing yards with. The Jets, the Bills, and now the Dolphins.
That's cool. He's a Harvard guy, too, right?
Is he?
Yeah, I think he went to Harvard.
Smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, after getting off to a 4-0 start, got their doors blown off by the Bucs, 38-10. Aaron Rodgers threw his third pick six ever in his career, only his third. How much pause did that insane blowout give you about this Green Bay team?
Not a ton. Okay. I mean, you're playing, that's as healthy of a version of Tampa as we've seen in a game where they were really motivated. They had a ton of time to prepare coming off the Bucs and Bears game. It was a Thursday night game before that. And if Tampa loses that, they're 3-3.
Yeah. So, a lot more to play for.
Do the Packers have some more flaws than we thought prior to the end of that first quarter when Rodgers is hip thrusting? Yeah, a little bit more. And Bakhtiari, their left tackle, is one of the best, and he's hurt. They're not a great defense either. No. And they hadn't gotten – well, they got run up the score on the Vikings. The Vikings scored a bunch. I don't know, though. They're still so good. And
I agree.
I have no doubt they're going to win the North.
I'm with you. There's a reason why the Dolphins old-timers always pop the champagne when the last unbeaten team loses, because it's hard to go undefeated. And that doesn't excuse Green Bay getting hammered by Tampa. But I think if you're Green Bay, you just, hey, we're still sitting in really good shape. Let that one go. Let's move on. It's a new week. And let's focus on the next team.
Next question.
I was waiting for Joe Buck to pull out the "that is a disgusting act" when Rodgers did his end zone dance.
That's a good call.
Disgusting was the Dodgers last night. Gosh.
Well, speaking, why?
I don't know. I want the Rays to win.
Oh. Well, speaking of disgusting, the NFC East is just an utter mess. The Cowboys look terrible under Dalton. The Eagles lost again. The Giants and Washington played in a one-point game where, let's be honest, was there even a winner?
No.
Despite someone winning. If you had to pick somebody, burger to the head, who's coming out of this division?
You know what frustrates me? Can I go on a little run here? You know what frustrates me? The Arizona Cardinals are sitting there at 4-2. And the Dallas Cowboys, if you put an absolute Vegas odds on who's going to make the playoffs, Dallas would be 80% and the Cardinals would be 20% because of the division. I know it evens out. In other words, there's going to be years, and there have been years, when the NFC West has been horrible and the NFC East has had stud teams. I get that. It's just amazing that Dallas is 2-4, gets throttled on Monday Night Football, and they're in first place in the East. I don't know. I mean, Zach Ertz is hurt. It's not the Giants or the Redskins, let's be honest. Or, I'm sorry, the Washington team. It's either Philadelphia or Dallas. I keep thinking Dallas is better than what they are, but they are so beat up, and I don't know when those guys come back. I'll go Philly.
Yeah, I feel like the longer this goes for Dallas, now obviously the quarterback dynamic changes everything too, but Dallas just has so many weapons offensively.
They do.
With Zeke, with CeeDee Lamb, Cooper, Gallup. They're in a much better position there than Philly, who now Miles Sanders is hurt.
Right.
Hurts is hurt. They've been waiting weeks and weeks for DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey to come back, which they're questionable every week and they don't play.
No.
But I'm starting to lean towards Philly, who has the better defense, has the better quarterback.
That is true.
And probably Dallas fans would say has the better coach.
Mm-hmm.
So give me Philly.
Isn't that funny? I could see Zeke, by the way, going for 200 yards against Washington this week. Is that who they play?
Yes.
I mean, that guy's coming out with a chip on his shoulder this week.
Next question.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That game's a pick 'em.
Just hold on to the ball.
The Broncos kicked 6 field goals, no touchdowns, and beat the Patriots 18-12 in Cam Newton's return from COVID.
What is this, Australian rules football?
The Pats are under 500 in October for the first time since 2001. Guys, are we witnessing the unraveling of the New England dynasty?
Absolutely.
Here?
It's done. It's done.
You don't believe that.
It's done. Well, the dynasty. Now, I'm not saying
that. Oh, yeah, the dynasty, yeah.
Well, I guess I meant in terms of them being a powerhouse figure in the AFC.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, we listed 3 teams earlier, that the Steelers, the Ravens, the Chiefs. It's done for the Eagles. Or Eagles, for the Patriots. I'm not saying Belichick can't rally here. Belichick or whatever, can't rally and get this thing figured out. Not this year, but down the line. I still think they'll go 500 this year.
Someone who took the under on their win total, which was either 8 or 8.5, I can't remember. I'd love to sit here and tell you that I'm feeling great about it. I'm not quite there. I actually think this is a decent buy low spot on the Patriots. Now, if they turn around and lose at home to the 49ers, then they're not in good shape at all.
Right.
But they had like very minimal time to prepare for the Broncos because of their COVID issues.
Agreed.
Newton wasn't practicing. Their losses, they lost to the Chiefs, and they lost to the Seahawks by 5.
Wow.
So really, they've been a little bit more impressive than I would have even thought. When Cam's healthy and he's practicing for a full week, I think Cam's looked really, really good.
Okay.
Next question.
Dynasty over, though.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
we shouldn't throw a guy out there who got over COVID 2 days before the game and didn't practice once. Just throwing that out there.
Good point.
Antonio Brown's year-long suspension is set to expire next week, and reports are that the Seahawks and a few other teams are interested in signing him. What do you think of that?
This is where I've gotten with him, and I'm going to be quicker. I hope the Seahawks get him.
Why?
Because I just feel
he's
like
going to blow it up.
Exactly. I feel like that's going to be an in. You're putting a bomb inside the. You're sending in Troy the horse or whatever, whatever that the name of that thing is. I don't know. I wouldn't trust him on my team.
I agree with you. I'm tired of hearing about it.
I am too.
He's not going to play anymore.
No. And it's not your fault, Trey. We're not yelling at you.
If one guy could heal him, it might be Russell Wilson, who's probably never cursed in his life. But
Right. And I think we've heard that before, though. Well, if he goes here.
Yeah, I know.
Because didn't he go to New England?
Yeah.
And that was the, if he goes to New England.
He played 2 games there.
Yeah, and then.
He really needs help.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's gotten it over this past year.
I agree with you.
There was that Instagram video where he was like throwing rocks at cops and yelling at he really needs to work on himself. And maybe he did, I don't know, but
need him.
No, they don't. No.
This kind of feels like Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Remember Josh Gordon?
Yeah.
Every year he got suspended for drugs, and then every year he got reinstated, and then every year he got suspended again.
And every year Lon would pick him up in fantasy thinking this is it. And every year he would get suspended again.
Josh Gordon, currently part of the Seahawks.
Is he really?
making a cool $800,000 a year.
Wow.
Probably.
Pete's running like a little rehabilitation facility on the side of the football thing.
He's waiting to be reinstated.
We're going to have to wait on the last
dump
two.
Them. They're stupid questions.
Well, they're not stupid, but we're going to have to wait. Is that all right?
That's fine.
We're going to have to wait on that. wow, what is this? Oh, it's the old... It's the old Lante tab. That's weird. All right. When we come back next hour, Josh Schaefer, Wisconsin beat writer for 24/7 Sports. We're going to find out about the Badgers. We'll do that around 5:15. We'll talk a little bit more about Illinois and Wisconsin, and we'll do a little World Series talk. Game 2 tonight. Blake Snell, Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah.
There you go. That's Game 2. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.